Okay, today is September the 9th. 8th. I still got August on here. I got to tear it off someday. September the 8th, 2015. A few announcements. The funeral for Paul Lesser's sister will be tomorrow at Memorial Oaks Funeral Home. And it will begin at 10 o'clock. Well, I sure hope I'm telling you the right time. I've got so many appointments and so many 10s and 11s. Huh? Yes, I'm officiating. And that will be tomorrow at 10. Yeah, it's 10 in the morning. And then Friday I'm going to be on RagingElephantsRadio.com. That will be at 11 o'clock. You can just go on your computer to RagingElephants.com, and there will be a live streaming or a live little button you turn on, and I think that's going to last for an hour from 11 to 12. And that's all the announcements I can think of for right now. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer. The option of acknowledging to God any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are the true God, that you are truth, and that we desperately need to understand and apply that truth to our lives. We live in a very dark, desperately wicked world. That means we can shine all the brighter. But we need your help. We need the Holy Spirit's power. We need epinosis, knowledge, doctrine. And we need the will and the courage to stand up for what is right in this world. We pray that you will help us do that. We pray that you will help us to assimilate doctrine into our souls as it becomes who and what we are, and that we will not be afraid or intimidated to express it and to apply it in our lives. We pray that you will help us to have an open mind this evening as we study your word, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I've been making a concerted effort ever since I watched the news this evening to calm down. I think maybe I'm calm right now. And I may, as I'm addressing the issues of our day, I may get a bit animated. But to be animated over issues of the day because you have righteous indignation does not mean that you've lost control. And I've had more than one person tell me, you just need to calm down. And I told them, no, I don't. Because issues are happening today that are going to change this nation for the worse, possibly permanently, if Christians don't get their blood up. If they just take the advice of the pundits and the politicians and say, we need to just get by this. We just need to move on and put this behind us. That's what they would love to do because they are in the wrong. And they are against freedom. And the cover that they've been operating under for so long has been ripped off for those who see it. And is the best opportunity that I've seen in decades for Christians to make a stand and have their voice heard and leave the results up to God. You can probably figure out already that what I'm talking about is the same-sex marriage opinion that the Supreme Court made back in June, which is unconstitutional and immoral and unjust. And what it does is expose all of those who are operating contrary to their awful office and the Constitution and against God. Today I watched The Five on Fox Network. Every one of them said that Kim Davis, this clerk who is a Christian in Kentucky, has made a stand for the Constitution, for what is right, and for what is biblical. She is the only one that is operating by the law. And yet you have governors, you have presidential candidates, you have nearly all of the pundits, the media, and everyone else saying that she is in the wrong and she needs to do her job. I'm here to tell you she did her job. She did her job as far as pertaining to her civil office. She is abiding by the law. She also did her job as a Christian not to roll over and either resign or comply with evil. And yet what has happened to her? She was thrown into jail without bail, with no supporting law behind it. There was a court order issued to her commanding her to issue out these licenses to same-sex couples. There is no law that requires that. None. Whoever's responsible for issuing that order, they're the people that belong behind bars. Because government officials cannot act apart from the Constitution. They cannot make it up as they go, even though they have been doing it for decades. And now they're being called on it. And the media and all their evil cohorts are surrounding the wagons in order to cover it up. But it is a blatant anti-God, anti-the Constitution, and anti-law. They're operating solely on their title of authority. I ask you, what do you have to do when you receive a court order that is immoral, unconstitutional, and ungodly? Is that a law? It is null and void as it possibly could be. And yet, you have most of the people, and I'm going to demonstrate to you, have decided that the Supreme Court has spoken. Five unelected liberal lawyers make a decision, and people are calling that the law of the land. You hear it everywhere. And these are by people that should know better. Kim Davis broke no law. However, Lois Lerner did. She took the Fifth Amendment to cover herself, and the entire Congress found her in contempt. How many days, how many weeks, how many months did she spend in jail? None. Hillary Clinton wipes her server clean, which is blatant obstruction of justice. She was wanting to hide what she had done. How many days has she spent in jail? She's still running for the presidency, and this is overlooked. The occupant of the White House has made so many unconstitutional executive orders and such, and on at least 10 occasions, the Supreme Court has found his acts unconstitutional. What penalty did he pay? You're beginning to get in focus what's happening in our country, and it is rotten, and it stinks. If Christians roll over and play dead on this one, if they allow this to just pass, then it will set a precedence and open Christian persecution will prevail in the land that was once free. Nothing less than that is at stake. And we're hearing all the pundits and the lawyers, for the most part, on Fox News say, we need to put this behind us. She was wrong. She needs to admit it and get on with it. him was released today from jail. There were thousands there to witness it. Mike Huckabee was there. And the alleged reason for letting her out by this federal judge was that her deputies, the other ones in the office, are now issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Then that is the alleged reason why he let her out. And you can be assured of one thing. Whatever the reason was, it was not that. He's a liar. They're all liars. They would climb a tree to tell a lie when they could stand on the ground and tell the truth. And they've done it over and over and over again. And the people keep believing it and believing it. And it's not hard and it's not difficult to recognize what the Constitution says. Of course, that's summarily ignored by those people. And they only have intimidation and force outside the law. And that's the way they operate. And we have a chance to call them on it now. And if we don't take it, it's to our own peril. Now, that's just the introduction to what I'm going to show you next. Where's a good place to start? Well, how about starting with the Constitution? When you say that might be a good place, that's what the lawyers and the pundits and the governor of Kentucky, the district attorneys, all of them, the whole sorry ilk of them, don't refer to unless they are distorting it. So let's look at the Constitution. If you can kill the lights, Danny. Yeah. Okay. Let me get this going here. All right. This is Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, what would it tell you if this is Article 1, Section 1, the first thing in the body of the Constitution? When it says that, would you say that that has quite a bit of importance? The very first thing you look at when you see outside of the introduction, the preamble to the Constitution, is this. And it says, all legislative powers herein. How many legislative powers? All legislative powers granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. Do you see anything about the Supreme Court in there? All powers. Anyone or anybody, any organization, anything that tries to make a law outside of the Congress, it is against the Constitution and it is null and void. Now, is that hard? Is that something that we have to really grapple with to understand? Of course not. Article 10 of the Bill of Rights. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now that means that if it's not an enumerated power, if someone in government can't go to the Constitution and say, here's my authority right here in the Constitution, specifically written down, if it's not there, they cannot do it. If they act outside of that, they are tyrants. Remember this. This is probably the fifth time I've told you this. I've shown it on the PowerPoint three times. In a free society, people are not required to have constitutional authority to act, but government does. That fits right nicely with the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. Actually, it's the 10th article of the Bill of Rights. How much does the government do in acting, the federal government, outside of their enumerated powers? Huh? Really, the question would be easier to answer by what do they do when they are following the Constitution and their enumerated powers? You can cover that in very short order. The other one, it would take you hours, maybe days or weeks to try to delineate all that they do that is unconstitutional. The fact that we have a federal judge poking his nose in marriage, which is a state issue, first and primarily, is against the Constitution. Nowhere is it written there. But they think they have an escape hatch. They go to the so-called 14th Amendment. And they try to use that, and they have bludgeoned the population for decades using that. I want you to remember these things. Maybe I'll put them on in writing for you. But the 14th Amendment is null and void for these three reasons. The 14th Amendment is as if it has never been created. Number one, it was never properly approved nor ratified. And according to the Constitution itself, you can't. Not only is it just the Congress that can make a law, they have to go through the correct process in order to create a law. It has to go through the right channels. It goes from the House to the Senate, and once they get their act together, they give it to the President, and the President signs it, then it's law. If he doesn't sign it, it has to go back to the Congress, and they have to either override that veto, and then it would become a law. They have to do it the right way. And there's a particular procedure in order to amend the Constitution. It's very laborious, on purpose. It was never properly approved nor ratified, so number one, it's null and void. Number two, it's unconstitutional. Why is it unconstitutional? Because it is in conflict with the 10th Amendment, which was never rescinded. You can't have a constitutional amendment that blatantly contradicts another amendment without rescinding the other one, the first one. One time in our history, there was a constitutional amendment that was changed. It was the prohibition. And they had to rescind the previous one before that one came into power, before it was enacted. The 10th Amendment, folks, thank God, has never been rescinded. And yet the 14th Amendment blatantly contradicts the 10th Amendment. It is unconstitutional. The third reason that the 14th Amendment is null and void is because it is immoral and it is unjust. It's immoral because of the unconstitutional powers it lords over the people. And it is unjust. Actually, it's unjust and immoral both, because it was created to punish the South for seceding. And because the South refused to ratify it, they put into place the Reconstruction Acts, which was military tyranny over the South until they would be forced to ratify the 14th Amendment, which still, with all of that going on, they still could not get enough votes to ratify it. They just proclaimed that it was passed and moved on. People sometimes they say, well, you're a constitutional scholar. No, I'm not a constitutional scholar. I don't know more than any average American should know about the Constitution. The Constitution was not written for scholars. It was written for the average man to understand, and that's why I can understand it. I can connect the dots, and it's not hard. It's just that people have been listening to lawyers and judges and politicians so long with constant lies that they don't know that there's any other way. This is Article 6 of the Constitution. This is actually the second paragraph of Article 6. Listen to this very carefully. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, now this is very important, which shall be made in pursuance thereof. Now what that means is the laws of the United States that are made from the Constitution have to be in pursuance thereof. That means it has to be in harmony with the Constitution. It means they cannot conflict with the Constitution, because if they do, then they're not pursuant thereof. So this is saying any law that comes down from, that is properly approved and ratified, and it is constitutional, it's not in conflict with the Constitution, then it's going to say something about that. And then it goes on and says, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, listen to this, shall be the supreme law of the land. Now, most people say the Constitution is the supreme law of the land and all the laws that come from it, but only those laws that are in pursuance thereof. The 14th Amendment is not the law of the land. It is not part of the Constitution because it is not pursuant to the Constitution. It is in conflict with the Constitution. So it is the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land. And judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution of our laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. That means if any state makes a law, whatever they come up with, that is contrary to the Constitution that, by the way, everyone, every government official takes an oath to, it says in this law or an act is unconstitutional, it says it's notwithstanding. That means it has no standing. It is null and void. They are standing outside of the Constitution if a judge enacts something like give a court order based on nothing but their own pompous arrogance. There has to be a law. There has to be something in writing for them to act. If they don't, it's called what? Tyranny. This is the part of the U.S. Constitution that deals with the supreme law of the land. Do you see the Supreme Court mentioned anywhere in the quote above? No. Well, don't you know that the Supreme Court decision is the law of the land? Those who make that statement, on what do they base it? Does it not fly in the face of the sixth article of the Constitution? It says what is the law of the land, and it is the laws that come from the Constitution that are pursuant thereof. Judges in every state are bound by it, not by an opinion of five unelected liberal lawyers. And yet I am so disgusted everywhere I turn, in print, on the air, on the radio, everywhere you go, they're saying that ever since the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage. That's what, and I'm going to show you a few in print that that's what they say. But that means, how can the Supreme Court legalize anything when only Congress can make law? And some of them are saying, oh, well, the Supreme Court decision, they're jumping through, they're doing somersaults trying to have some basis for the lies that they're saying. I saw in one article it was saying, well, what the Supreme Court does is nullify the laws that have been passed and ratified, and they're now dormant, and it's the Supreme Court decision that rules. And by the way, if that was if the Supreme Court did have the power to legislate laws from the bench, that's exactly what would happen. And that is how everyone is acting. None of these DOMA acts, constitutional amendments in about 39 states that were passed, all these that say marriage is between one man and one woman, none of them have been rescinded. It would take a constitutional amendment to change it. And yet they're saying, oh, no, well, the Supreme Court nullified all that, and now because five judges have spoke, this is the way it is, the law of the land. We have governors and we have attorneys, judges all across the board acting if that was so. It is insane. It is illegal. It is unlawful. It is unconstitutional. It is unbiblical. And now, even though I gave you examples of people who have broken the law, actually have broken the law, and nothing happened until you get one average clerk in Kentucky that stands on her religious rights, her God-given right to exercise her faith, and the whole thing collapses and she is sent to jail with no law backing it, without bail, and everybody celebrates it. A born-again Christian. And what do the Christians, what are the Christians doing? Well, I will say this. When I saw tonight on the news, there were a couple thousand there, Christians, that were celebrating because she was let out. And good for them. And you want to know why this federal judge that had no business in the state doing this anyway, why he did it? No doubt he was beginning to feel the pressure. And so he makes up an excuse for why he let her out. He says, but you better not try to impede all the nefarious things that are going on, or else I'll throw you in jail again. Under zero authority. Under what law will you do it? Because she's complying with the laws that are really laws. And so there are some Christians that are speaking out. By the way, I'm going to say this before I forget it. I've instructed Carrie to take the audio from last Sunday and the notes from last Sunday and send it to everyone on our email list to where they can at least get the audio and they can have the notes, because the live streaming wasn't working that well. I have taken my list of the pastors that are on the live streaming a video conference, 26 of them, and I sent my notes from Sunday and a video that I'm about to show you. I nearly forgot the video. I've got to show you the video. And I sent that to them as well. And I'm stepping out on faith. When you know you're right, and it's not about just being right, it's urgent need for people to get the truth, because they hear all these people that they consider scholars lying to them. And they think, well, I guess we better just move on. Well, we better not move on if we want to keep our religious freedom, what we have of it left. Okay, I'm going to... Golly, I have so much to give you. I guess I'll go back this way. The Fifth Amendment, the Fifth Article about a Constitutional Convention? Yeah, what about it? I don't like it. I'll just tell you, since you brought that up, I'll address it for shortly here. There are people who are advocating what is called a Fifth Article Constitutional Convention. In the Constitution, in Article 5, they give the way that you are supposed to amend the Constitution and so forth. But they also say that this was kind of an escape measure for put in the Constitution. If everything goes to hell in a handbasket, which it has, it says then the states can call a convention to gather together to essentially redo the Constitution. The state representatives can do it. If they don't do it, the people can do it. But they have to go through the conventions, the representatives to do it. Now, the reason that I'm not for that is because, first of all, when you have a constitutional convention, all bets are off. Everything is on the table and it can change everything. In fact, that's how our current constitution came about. When they met in Philadelphia, they didn't have designs on creating a new constitution. They were there to amend the Articles of Confederation. And when they got there, they decided, well, we need to do more than that. They closed the door and they came up. They just shut the Articles of Confederation and came up with a brand new constitution. Well, that's what is possible in an Article 5 constitutional convention. And it's very dangerous because once you've called it and people there, there could be a motion, well, I'll make a motion that we do away with the Bill of Rights. Boom, it's gone. And here's my strongest argument, though, that is contrary to that. And that is, what makes anybody think if the people and the government now is not obeying the Constitution, what makes them think that they're going to obey it if it's changed? The problem is not with the Constitution. The problem is with the people who are ignoring the Constitution and getting by with it. That's exactly why we have this issue with Kim Davis and our constitutional, God-given First Amendment right of free exercise of our religion, our faith, is under a frontal assault attack right now, is for that very reason. Does that answer you? Okay. Okay, we're going to see what happens. By the way, I sent this video out to everyone I could as well. And I think that I will have Carrie send that with the notes and the audio. Y'all just hold on. It's y'all can see I'm about blinded up here with this light. Okay. Let's see if it's going to come up. I'll hold my mic close to this. This is a 7-minute video. It takes place in front of the jail where Kim Davis is incarcerated at the time.
Good morning. My name is Michael Anthony Perutka, Perutka.
Okay, I'm fixing to put it up. This is Michael, Perutka. And this is at a Kim Davis rally that occurred 3 days ago. Let's see if I can get it full screen. Okay, y'all ready? Let me get my... Huh? Yeah, I know. I'm just getting everything ready.
As Cal told me, I have very little time here, so let me get right to it. Others today here will make the moral argument for you. But today, briefly, I happen to also be an attorney. Please don't hold that against me as I proceed. But I'm going to make the legal argument, a legal argument that you probably haven't heard. I've come to stand alongside Kim Davis, as Cal mentioned. I'm also a local elected official in Annapolis, Maryland. Just like the jailer here, just like the sheriff, just like the mayor, are elected officials here. Kim Davis, Clerk Kim Davis, has given all believers a lesson in faithfulness and in perseverance. Now, here's the other point I want you to think about. Kim Davis is also giving the entire country a civics lesson. Because she knows what federal judges either don't know or don't care to recognize. And that is that God is the source and the author of law and government, and that any purported law that is not harmonious with His word can't be law and is not law. As our founders pointed out in the Declaration of Independence, there is an almighty God. Our rights, indeed all law, come from Him. And the purpose of civil government is to protect our rights, our God-given rights, not to attack them. This is our history. This is our heritage. So please, let's not miss the civics lesson here. Kim Davis is willing to sit in jail to teach this lesson. So please, in the next few minutes, you're going to hear the moral lesson, but let me please give you for a minute a legal argument that you're probably not going to hear, although Mike Huckabee made it very well. Here's the lesson. There is no law that requires her to grant a marriage license to people of the same sex. Let me ask, as she has asked, where is the law? What legislature voted for it? What executive signed it? What are its terms? What does it say? Where is it written? Indeed, there is no law. Now, if you have an answer to that, you'll hear this answer. You'll say the answer to this question is that you have to refer to the opinion of a court. Well, courts, ladies and gentlemen, have had many opinions. You can tune in tomorrow and the day after, and they will have more and more opinions that probably frequently contradict the one before. But they are not law. They are, as it says at the top of the page, opinions. They are not law. Courts don't make law. Courts don't make law. If you want to know more about this argument, please refer to this pamphlet that's being handed out. Please refer to this website, theamericanview.com. I'm affiliated with a group called the Institute on the Constitution. We make these arguments all the time, and we have courses of study that make these arguments and help you to make these arguments, articulate these arguments. But for proof of the fact that courts don't make law, let me quote the very first sentence of the United States Constitution. The very first sentence of the United States Constitution after the preamble, Article 1, Section 1, says this. Let me stop there. What does all mean? Thank you. All legislative power herein granted is vested in a Congress, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. All legislative authority, that is, I'll say all lawmaking power, is vested in the Congress. So if all, ladies and gentlemen, please do the math. If all legislative power, all lawmaking power is vested in Congress, how much is left over for the court? There's your legal argument that courts don't make law. Legislatures make law. So let me just ask then, if there is a law that requires the clerk of this county to issue a license in this case, we ask, please show it to us. And if you can't show it to us, then free Kim Davis. If you can't show it to us, then free the elected county clerk who has broken no law. You will hear people on the TV, you will hear talking heads, you will hear people say, yeah, well, she broke the law, but so did Obama, and so did the city of San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera. Don't buy that argument. They have broken the law. She has broken no law. And therefore, respectfully, I speak to the elected representatives that the mayor is here today, your jailer here in this county is an elected representative. I speak to these elected representatives and I say, men, gentlemen, if there is no law, you don't have to listen to the whim of a federal judge. There is no law. You have the authority to free Kim Davis, please. Kim Davis has no requirement set upon her to approve a state-sanctioned sin. There is no such requirement. Kim Davis is a law-abider. She has acted lawfully. Once again, I say, and I ask you to remember, please, make this appeal to the local representatives. They don't have to listen to a federal judge. Judges don't make law, so there's nothing for them to enforce by keeping Kim Davis in jail. Show me the law or free Kim Davis. Show me the law or free Kim Davis. Show me the law or free Kim Davis. Show me the law or free Kim Davis.
By the way, I prepared Oh. How long is this? I've heard this one as well. 6 minutes and 42 seconds. I think this is probably worth hearing. This is Mike Huckabee that is under attack by Greg Stephanopoulos, which is could be the poster child for the liberal media. And he is attacking him. And Huckabee does a pretty good job of addressing this issue. I think the reason I want you to see these is so you can see someone in action being attacked and just staying calm and stating the facts. And what I was going to say before I saw this come on, I prepared my Sunday message before I saw that video, by the way. I just thought you might need to know that. I didn't get this video and then make my Sunday message. It's after I had already given it, I found this. What'd y'all think of that video? Well, we'll get you a transcript of it. He's essentially saying that Kim Davis is a law abider, and all these people that threw her in jail that had any part of that, they are the lawbreakers. Yeah. I think this audio might be better. So, well, y'all are seeing what I have there. Let's see if I can get it on full screen.
Conservative. He says if the Supreme Court makes a ruling we don't like, we are obliged to obey the law or be willing to suffer the consequences of disobedience. What we cannot do and what the government cannot permit is open defiance of settled law. He believes this is going to backfire on the religious liberty movement. What's your response?
Well, he would have hated Abraham Lincoln because Lincoln ignored the 1857 Dred Scott decision that said black people weren't fully human. It was a wrong decision. And to say that we have to surrender to judicial supremacy is to do what Jefferson warned against, which is, in essence, surrender to judicial tyranny. And we had so many different presidents, including Jefferson, Jackson, Lincoln. There were other founders like Hamilton, Adams, who made it very clear that the courts can't make a law. The Constitution is expressly clear that that's a power reserved to Congress. When the courts have a ruling, then it is incumbent upon Congress to codify that into law and specifically delineate what that means. That hasn't happened,
but
George.
Sir, how is this different than from Loving versus Virginia back in 1967? Of course, that was the Supreme Court ruling that struck down bans on interracial marriage. If a clerk at that time had said, listen, my religious beliefs forbid me from issuing this license, would you support that?
Well, it's an incredibly different situation because what the did in Loving. No, it's not the same, George, not even close. Because in Loving, you still had a marriage which was a man and a woman, and it was equal protection, but it didn't redefine marriage.
You didn't have laws implementing the ruling then either, so would it have been okay to defy the Supreme Court in that case?
I think it's a very different equation altogether, because this is a redefinition. Marriage is not defined in the federal Constitution at all. It's a matter for the states. And applying the 14th Amendment to the equality of men and women in their relationship in marriage is totally different than redefining marriage. And I think what we've seen here is the overreach of the judiciary. This, if allowed to stand without any congressional approval, without any kind of enabling legislation, is what Jefferson warned us about.
I'm not sure I follow the reasoning, sir. This is exactly the same. In both cases, you have the Supreme Court saying that state laws don't further the Constitution, don't further the 14th Amendment.
George, can you cite for me what statute Kim Davis would be required to follow in order to issue a same-sex marriage license in Kentucky when her state specifically says by 75% of the voters that marriage means one man, one woman? Can you cite the statute at the federal or state level that she's supposed to follow, even the very form that she fills out, specifically lists a male and a female? Does she have the authority just to scratch that out and create her own?
Does she have the duty to obey a legal order from the court?
Well, you obey it if it's right. So I go back to my question. Is slavery the law of the land? Should it have been the law of the land because Dred Scott said so? Was that a correct decision? Should the courts have been irrevocably followed on that? Should Lincoln have been put in jail? Because he ignored it. I mean, that's the fundamental question. Do we have a talent system? Do we have three equal branches? Or do we have one supreme branch, not just the Supreme Court? That's the fundamental question. And, George, this is a bigger issue than this one thing. This goes back to the larger issue of whether or not what we've learned in ninth grade civics is even still operative. And why people are so angry across the country, not just on this issue, but on others, is that the ruling class has thumbed their nose at the very Constitution. You've got Democrats who ignored the law when it was the law to have traditional marriage. Gavin Newsom in San Francisco as mayor performed same-sex weddings even though it was illegal. Did he ever get put in jail? He most certainly did not. You have Barack Obama and Eric Holder when he was attorney general. They ignored the rulings of DOMA. Did they get put in jail for ignoring the law? They most certainly did not. So when is it that liberals get to choose which laws they support, but a county clerk in Kentucky who, acting on her Christian faith, is criminalized, jailed without bail because she acted on her conscience and according to the only law that is in front of her?
One of the most memorable statements ever made by a president on separation of church and state was, of course, John F. Kennedy to the Baptist ministers back in his campaign in 1960. Let me play a bit of that.
But if the time should ever come, and I do not conceive any conflict to be remotely possible, when my office would require me to either violate my conscience or violate the national interest, then I would resign the office.
Would you make that same statement in your candidacy for president?
I can't see any circumstance in which I would be required to violate my conscience and the law. And if so, I think maybe there is a point at which you say either I'll resign or put me in jail. But what I want to go back to is that...
Well, let me ask you to follow up on that, because I'll just
Okay.
one situation. The federal government now recognizes same-sex marriage for tax purposes. Health, Social Security, and death benefits go to same-sex couples. So would you resign rather than carry out those policies?
Well, when you say the federal government recognizes it, what statute under which do they recognize it? They do it
there
by decree, but there is no congressionally elected or voted upon statute. George, let me give an example. When I was governor, let me finish this because it's very important. When I was governor, we had a Supreme Court case on school finance that said we were inadequate and inequitable. They ruled. I read the ruling. I agreed with it. I knew it was right. But I didn't just sit out at my desk and start writing new checks to school districts. We had to go back to the legislature, come up with a school funding formula. It was passed. I signed it. And then we ordered the Department of Education to send checks. We are bypassing the process when we have one branch of government acting as it has authority over the other two. And what I'm coming back to, and I think people are missing this, either we live under the rule of law, which is a three-branch checks and balances system of government, or we end up with what I think was so powerful when Lincoln said this, and I want to read this. He said, if the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of the Supreme Court the instant they are made, then in personal actions, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers, having to that extent practically resigned their government into the hands of this eminent tribunal. We either are a people of government, a people of law, and we are a nation of the people, or we are a nation under the power of the Supreme Court, which is what the dissenting opinion of Roberts and Scalia so powerfully said.
Governor Huckabee, that's all we have.
Yeah, he ran out of time just in time, didn't he? Of course. Anybody that I'm trying to kill this. This guy's taking the life out of his own here. Well, let's see. Okay. Isn't that refreshing to hear someone under the gun just state the facts? And yet, today, tomorrow, and as we go on, you're going to hear those who are supposed to be in the know, those who have been entrusted with the sacred responsibility to uphold the Constitution by oath, the great majority of them are ignoring this. Of course, the media is supporting them. By the way, I was watching the news tonight very carefully just to see. I thought that, naively, I thought that they would probably lead with this story. It didn't even show up. They did not even cover it. Thousands of people there, a presidential candidate there making a phenomenal speech, and it's not even covered. Oh, but Cecil the Lion, they had about 10 minutes on him and his murder by a dentist. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Cecil the Lion? Two did? Well, I looked at 11 and 13. Neither one of them did. And anyway, they were going over that. Why wouldn't they make this front and center, the first thing they lead with? Because they don't want people to see that they don't want to hear the opposing opinion, but just happens to be right. And they don't want to have other Christians see Christians, thousands of them, applauding this because it's not according to their agenda. Do you see how everything is manipulated and contrived? And yet here we are. I don't know how anyone can watch those two videos or be tuned in to Will America Survive and all that we've done so far and still think that we can ignore God and ignore the Constitution and we'll be just fine and dandy. That's not going to happen, and it's not happening. It's time for us as Christians to stand up and be counted and not roll over and stop talking about this. Are y'all still with me so far? I think I'll just go to this one first to show you what I was talking about, how the media and everyone is talking like this is a done deal. What is said here isn't that important other than what I have highlighted in yellow. Can y'all see this? The name of this is Gay Marriage Fight in Kentucky, Likely Not the Last Battleground. That's the name of it. Now, this is coming from a liberal standpoint, and it says, in Texas, Alabama, and elsewhere, a number of clerks and judges who stated their opposition to gay marriage have thrown up roadblocks to the unions. And at first I thought, what, labor unions? No, it's talking about same-sex unions. They've thrown up roadblocks to the unions, extending the fight over same-sex weddings 2 months after the U.S. Supreme Court legalized gay marriage. You see that over and over and over and over again, and it is a lie. It is against God, it's against the Constitution, and it's against freedom. And yet you see it all over the place. And what people do, they see this, they pick up the vernacular, they pick up and they just parrot what this is. That's how things continue to stick unless there's enough people, Christians and otherwise, that say, no, that's a lie. They didn't legalize anything. Then later on in it, it says, this right above. It says, the fight has made Davis a martyr-like figure for religious conservatives who argue she is being jailed for her religious beliefs, a view espoused by several Republican presidential candidates. I don't know about several. I know Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee, you just heard. Those are the only two that I know are standing up and not agreeing with this. For the most part, the other ones are rolling over and are for it. If y'all know anything to the contrary, I would like to know. But those are the only two that I know that are. Now, this guy says, but for legal experts and gay marriage advocates, the issue is clear. Gay marriage is the law of the land, and the public servants are bound to uphold the decision of the justices. Now, I just showed you, the Constitution says just the opposite of this. And yet this is what is being purveyed throughout the land. This is an article, Gay Marriage Fight in Kentucky. I didn't capture which news link it was on. So just the exact opposite of what the Constitution says. Then down here it says, You wonder what this was under here? Well, I have something. I just gave you Article 6, what I gave you earlier. That's what I quoted here. And it's you don't see the Supreme Court anywhere in there. And then it says, in this big country, it's not surprising that there have been a handful of isolated instances of acting out and foot dragging. Now, this is written by a homosexual advocate. And he's saying, we haven't completely conquered them yet. There's still a few little handful of isolated instances that are acting out. In other words, they're throwing a temper tantrum and they're dragging their feet on accepting this immoral, unconstitutional, ungodly act. That's what I'm saying. And then he said, Evan Wolfson, founder and president of Freedom to Marry, a same-sex marriage advocate. That's what he's saying. But the problem is, not only is he saying this, everyone on the Fox 5 are saying this. Bill O'Reilly is saying this. I've heard Bill O'Reilly in the last three or four times that I was watching it. Three times he said, well, everyone knows that federal laws always trump state laws. That's a quote. He said it three or four separate times. And what kind of weight does he have across the land? Down here, here's the bottom one, or one of them. You have this guy that says he's an elected probate judge, and that's my decision. Thank you, Alabama, Geneva County probate judge Fred Hammack, before hanging up the phone. And this guy who they're kind of giving a sounding board, this same-sex marriage advocate, says this: that interpretation in Alabama largely took hold after the U.S. District Judge Callie Grandy of the Southern District of Alabama overturned the state's ban on same-sex marriage in January. A state judge, in an opinion, overturned the state's ban on same-sex marriage? We're talking about a constitutional amendment, and a judge makes a decision, and he's saying that it overturned the state ban on same-sex marriage in January? People read this, and they're not in the know. They haven't been trained. They haven't been educated like you have. Oh, okay, well, that must be it. What it is. This is just one sample of every article and everything that's coming across these days. Here's how it ends. This is still by this Wolfson. He says, in the end, all counties will be issuing licenses because it's the law of the land, said Wolfson, which is pro-homosexual sex marriage advocate of Freedom to Marry, which is the liberal organization he founded. And this sideshow will be over soon, he said. What is the sideshow? The sideshow is Christians who are standing up for their religious freedom to exercise their faith. That's what he is calling a sideshow. This is just, I hope you believe me, I just pick one at random. This bill is just being poured forth throughout the whole country on video, audio, in the paper, on the many places on the internet. I've got 1.5 minutes left. I'm chasing it, trying to. This one right here. Well, I just won't. I'm just going to have to do this another time. It's too good. This is by Suzanne Hamner, H-A-M-N-E-R. It was written September the 6th. This is just one little blurb. Maybe I can get it. It's just this much right here. And you'll like the title. She says, Obama spokes liar, Josh Earnest, stands on rule of law in support of judge holding Kim Davis in contempt. And this is what she says. I'll try to just read it mostly without commentary. This will be hard. This is just one little blurb out of a big article. Kim Davis is following the law of the state of Kentucky and her religious beliefs. Where is the lawlessness upon Davis? A judge that orders an individual to commit an act contrary to established law based on a court opinion, in quotation marks, without a change in the law, is asking an individual to violate the law. The judge is in contempt of the law, not the clerk. Make no mistake, Judge David Bunning, excuse me, is using Kim Davis as an example. Follow the Supreme Court decision in violation of state law and your religious beliefs or sit in jail until you agree to do so. Davis is a political and religious prisoner indicative of the practice in the communist USSR to bring about compliance through threats, intimidation, and fear. Unfortunately, there will be more to come in regards to this confusing individuals to the point no one will know what will land them in jail, following the law or not following the law, according to whatever man decides. This is the point in time where every Christian needs to stand and be counted regardless of church affiliation, what a, in quotation marks, pastor or church authority organization claims, and public opinion in support of Kim Davis. Miss Davis is following state law and exercising her guaranteed First Amendment God-given rights. If Christians will not stand now against unlawful imprisonment, when will they? I guess that's good enough to close on. She closed with a question. Did you notice that? I don't apologize for not going back to Colossians tonight. I'm addressing issues that I think people, Christians, desperately need to hear this. Because God will hold us accountable. And ignorance is no excuse. Now, those who have heard this are not ignorant anymore. Hopefully, they understand what the issue is. And it doesn't matter how many or how loud they howl. The Constitution is still the Constitution. God is still on the throne. And we are to abide by both. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are the God of righteousness and justice. And that You are omnipotent and omniscient. You are above all. Anything contrary to Your law is not law. Indeed, it is evil. We pray that You will help us to rightly divide the word of truth, that we will be able to discern between good and evil, and that we will have the knowledge and the courage to apply the good to our lives and be a sounding board for righteousness so that we can be good and faithful servants. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.